It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Colossians, we are continuing our series on the book of Colossians, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Colossians in the New Testament, founded indirectly by the Apostle Paul, and we know this based on his missionary journeys as outlined in the book of Acts, particularly Acts 16 verse 6, Acts chapter 18 verse 23, and Acts chapter 19 verse 10. Although Paul did not personally attend the Colossian founding of the church, his influence of touching a multitude of individuals for the gospel of Jesus Christ in that area allowed individuals to be gathered in the city of Colossae and found the church of Colossae. This is also evident in chapter 1, verse 7, with him who ministered to him, Epaphras, was the leader of the Colossian church. Scriptures teach that Paul spent years teaching in the school of Tyrannus in the city of Ephesus. Also, scripture teaches that Paul made numerous journeys in that area, influencing individuals by name throughout the New Testament scriptures, where these individuals founded, led, supported churches, all under the auspices of the conversion teaching of the Apostle Paul. The book of Colossians was written approximately between 62 AD and 64 AD, written from Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. The book of Colossians is one of four prison epistles, along with Ephesians, Philemon, and the book of Philippians. The book of Colossians has a number of themes. The main themes is the emphasis on Christ as the head of the church, the fullness of Christ, exhortations to Christian living, and particularly refuting intellectualism. Individuals that were a part of the Gnostic teaching, the cult of the Gnostics, which taught that knowledge is the way to God, and there was an inner light that was given to those who were super Christians, to those who were above other Christians based on their knowledge of this inner light. They also taught, unfortunately, that Christ was created, that he was a part of a series of creations from God. This cult came from the teaching that all matter is evil and the spirit is good. This was a result of answering a question that how could God create evil? And in their cultish conclusion, they decided that Christ was a creation from God, as to not attribute evil to the original creator, God himself. Unfortunately, they did not understand the scriptures where all good comes from the Lord and evil comes from the fall through the rebellion of Lucifer, or as his name is now, Satan. Also, the book of Colossians begins to teach the danger of trusting in Jewish rituals with the combination of adding Greek philosophy into the Christian faith, as we'll see when we begin to teach through the scriptures. This is the teaching on the book of Colossians, chapter 1, part 2. verses 18 through 19. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Here in verse 18 and verse 19, this speaks of Jesus Christ's fourfold preeminence, him being first in all things. Verse 18 speaks of him as the head of the body, the church, those that are called out believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the church, as spoken of in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not a pope, nor a bishop, nor a potentate, nor is a board of directors a head of a church, nor is a deacon. The head of the church, the body of Christ, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is spoken of as a body, the body of Christ, and the functions of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 18 speaks of the firstborn from the dead. This speaks to Jesus Christ to die and to be resurrected from the dead unto eternal life. Jesus Christ always had eternal life. Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As a human, Jesus Christ wrapped himself in flesh, took on the form of a human body to die for the sins of the world, and rose from the dead unto eternal life. And as a result, he is the giver of eternal life through faith in him. Scripture teaches in the book of John, chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Jesus Christ is quoted as saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Jesus Christ, the firstborn, author of the resurrection, and the giver of everlasting life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 teaches about the importance of the resurrection of Christ. Verse 18 and verse 19 speaks of Jesus Christ's fullness and preeminence, and is outlined in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, which states, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Here we see the tenfold greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His fullness, his preeminence, him being first in all things. Verses 20 through 23. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Here in verse number 20 through 23, we see Jesus Christ's mediatorial work on the cross. His reconciling us back to the Lord by the blood of his cross, by his crucifixion. The word reconcile means to be made friends again, to change from enemy to friend. And because Jesus Christ took on the sins of the world, God judged our sins on the cross, on Jesus Christ. And as a result, the Lord can bestow forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and change from God being our enemy based on sin, and now being our friend based on forgiveness in Christ and adoption into the family of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As part of reconciliation, we have peace with God, and as a result, we have the peace of God in our life through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 states, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation means mercy seat. It means the satisfaction of God's wrath. It means that God's wrath against sin was satisfied in Christ, for God judged the sins of the world on Jesus Christ. As a result of reconciliation in Christ, God's wrath against sin was satisfied on the cross of Calvary, as God judged the sins of the world on Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 18 states, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 36 states, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As a result of reconciliation, this wrath of God will not be bestowed upon the children of God, for we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Verse 21 speaks of another great work of reconciliation, as we have gone from someone alienated from God to someone reconciled back to God. Verse 22 speaks of how this was done in the body of his flesh through death, which speaks of the crucifixion. The shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary speaks to we being reconciled back to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 22 speaks of us being holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This word unreprovable means unimpeachable. No one can stand before the Lord and impeach us. We are unimpeachable in his sight. We are not the same individuals that we were before after coming to Jesus Christ in faith. Scripture teaches, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Verse 23 has a word called if. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This word if is found over 1,500 times in the scriptures. This word if in verse 23 does not mean since you continue in the faith. It presumes choice if you continue in the faith. A fork in the road, a crossroad, a choice between turning to the left or turning to the right. This presumes choice. And if we are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, then the benefits of verses 20 through 22 above will apply to us if we continue in the faith. individuals can start out with the Lord, but over time can backslide and begin to shipwreck their faith. We are to continue to finish what the Lord has started in our life in terms of His purpose, His calling, and salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, Paul states, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." It's one thing to have faith. It's something else to be faithful. And we are to be faithful to the end and continue in the faith and finish the work that God has called us to do. Verses 24 through 27. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Here in verse 24, Paul speaks of his ministry and suffering for the church, suffering for the cause of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 states, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Acts chapter 14, verse 22 states that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Suffering is a prerequisite and unavoidable as a Christian for the cause of Christ. Verse 25 and verse 26 speaks about the dispensation and mystery from Paul. We are in the dispensation of the Gentiles, the age of the Gentiles, the dispensation of the church, and the age of grace, where the gospel is now open to the Gentiles and not just to the Jews. Verse 25 speaks of the dispensation of God, this time of the Gentiles. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 12 states, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, or the Jews, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, the Jews. And now that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing thy name." This is a quote from Psalm 18, verse 49. Romans 15:10 goes on to say, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." This is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. Romans 15:11 states, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." This is a quote from Psalm 117, verse 1. Romans 15:12 concludes by saying, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust." This is a quote from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. Paul, as a result, is quoting from the Old Testament scriptures to let individuals know that this dispensation, promises are being fulfilled, the gospel being preached to the Gentiles. Verse 26 speaks of a mystery being hid and now revealed. This word mystery speaks of something hid that is now revealed in the timing of God. This particular mystery is the indwelling Christ in us as the church. Verse 27 reinforces this as the riches of his glory among the mystery of the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Previously, in the Old Testament, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, would fill the temple as individuals would minister in the temple, offer sacrifice, praise, and worship unto God. The Shekinah glory would fall fresh in the temple, and individuals would experience sweet fellowship and celebration in the Lord. Now, in the New Testament times, no longer does God appear in a man-made temple, but God now appears in this temple, our temple, the body that we have, and us being the body of Christ, the church, as God fills us with his Spirit, and we are baptized into the body of Christ by faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 states, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Jews and Gentiles, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, now become the church, unified into one body by the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. When Jesus Christ was sacrificed for our sins on the cross of Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, providing access to God for all through Jesus Christ. Verses 28 through 29. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Here in verse number 28, it's the word "whom" we preach, not "what" we preach. We don't preach a "what," we preach "whom," the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a "what," it is a "whom." Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, died for our sins, was buried, rose from the dead with all power in his hand. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news to all that will hear, that our sins can be forgiven by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Scripture teaches, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 29 speaks of Paul working with all of his might and working in the gospel, laboring in the ministry, working and laboring in the ministry according to the power that worketh through him. It's not just Paul, it's the power of God through Paul. It's not just us doing the work of the Lord, it's the power of God working through us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 states, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Scripture teaches in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Scripture teaches in the book of 1 John, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Scripture teaches in Romans chapter 8 that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul is stating in verse 29, he is laboring with all of his might, and this mighty power that's working through him comes from the Lord. We, as servants of the Lord, serve and love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's enabling us to fulfill the purpose, calling, and work of the Lord. This is the teaching on the book of Colossians, chapter 1, part 2. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray this prayer with me, this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.